and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Clear.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Thousands of Americans are stuck at airports nationwide right now and struggling to get back home. 3,000 flights have been canceled. Most are with Southwest.
I've been here since yesterday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon trying to get out.
Stayed on the phone for about 3.5 hours to talk to a representative from Southwest, and I need to go back to work.
The airline blames bad weather and says disruptions will likely continue throughout the week. Meantime, people in Buffalo, New York are just trying to survive. Cassandra Garman's a pharmacy tech at Buffalo General Hospital. She left work early on Friday to get home, but got stuck in her car for almost 18 hours.
At one point in time, I'm like, I do not want to die out here alone in the cold around the holidays. My kids are at home by themselves. Like, it was a lot.
There are new water problems right now down south.
Many residents of Jackson, Mississippi have now been without running water for 3 days after frigid weather caused pipes to burst over the weekend. People are again fed up with the city's long troubled water system.
It should have been fixed years and years ago, like back there in the 70s and 80s.
The water supply for the predominantly black capital city of Mississippi was out for a week in August after flooding from the Pearl River swamped the water treatment plant.
CBS's Jim Crisula reporting. A scary slip in California where a hiker fell nearly 200 feet near Cucamonga Peak. San Bernardino County Deputy Sheriff Doug Brimmer.
She made the peak, and on her way down is when she slid on ice about 200 feet. She initially slid feet first, and then she hit her head on a log, and she went unconscious.
Another hiker called for help. She's now recovering from head and neck injuries. A man suing Apple, claiming its watch is racist.
Alex Morales says the blood oximeter in the watch doesn't work well for black people, which puts them at an increased risk for hypoxemia, which is a lower than normal amount of oxygen in the blood. The lawsuit claims for decades there have been reports that such devices were significantly less accurate in measuring the levels based on skin color, but they've gone unaddressed. He says because of this, Apple was able to sell the watches for a premium price. And if more people knew about the defect, they wouldn't have bought them. Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
Democrats want New York Republican George Santos to resign after he copped to padding his resume to win a House seat. CBS's Kately Hewitt-Burns.
Santos said he won't be deterred from serving his full term in Congress and said he intends to deliver on the promises he made during the campaign trail. He is slated to be sworn into Congress next week.
Local GOP officials say they're disappointed in Santos, who's broken the public trust. This is CBS News.
Brought to you by Clear, a faster, easier way through airport security. Try today for 2 months free by visiting clearme.com/CBS22 or use code CBS22.
Hi, I'm Anthony Imperato, president of Henry Repeating Arms. Patriotic Americans are looking to protect and provide for their families now more than ever. For your home and in the field, there is a Henry that is right for you. We have over 200 Henry rifles and shotguns to choose from, in a variety of calibers and finishes, all backed by our lifetime guarantee and my personal guarantee for your 100% satisfaction. You have my word that Henry Repeating Arms are made in America, always will be, or they won't be made at all. I invite you to visit henryusa.com to order a free catalog, decals, and a list of Henry dealers in your area. That's henryusa.com or call 1-800-958-4993. Thank you and God bless America.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Some travelers are still trying to get to their destinations after thousands of flights were canceled over the holiday weekend. Southwest Airlines says travelers looking to reschedule may have to wait until after December 31st to find available flights. 44 agencies that provide transportation for seniors and individuals with disabilities will be receiving a boost next year. Governor Tony Evers, together with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, announced today that the 44 agencies will receive more than $5 million in state and federal funds to assist with mobility in rural areas of the state. 54 organizations in Wisconsin will be receiving $2 million in grants to provide emergency shelter, transitional residences, and extremely low-income housing in the state. Governor Evers, together with Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority, or WEDA, announced these funds will create or improve close to 2,000 beds and housing units across the state. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Daytime highs approaching 22. This afternoon, under cloudy skies, south winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy again tonight, lows level off around 19. Highs around 36. Tomorrow, cloudy skies. Highs level off around 41. Thursday, with a chance for scattered rain showers. 34. Cloudy skies Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 13.
It goes, we got pushed at the front of the class, but now we're running banks, pushing fat stacks of cash. It goes, ears burning, but we never let it catch fire. Stayed calm, built a .com empire. So keep your pride with your face.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today during your lunch hour, or maybe it's not your lunch hour because maybe you're not working and you don't know what day it is. But either way, we are here. We are live. As always, you can join the conversation 844-967-2789 and would love your opinions and thoughts as we go through these top 15 findings of 2022 from Pew Research Center.
The research nerds.
The research nerds. Whenever I say Pew Research Center, all I want to go is pew, 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 pew.
And I think of Pepe Le Pew.
There you go. Yeah. You know, word association. But if you're not, are you familiar with Pew Research Center?
I know that they've been around forever, haven't they?
So it's a nonpartisan fact tank. Not think tank, fact tank.
Fact tank.
That informs the public about issues, attitudes, trends shaping the world. So they mostly conduct public opinion polling, but I don't necessarily know if they do like as many like campaign polls, you know, how we always think about Marquette law school polling. Cause this is, as you'll see, this is less about it. It has some politics and partisan leaning stuff, but they research everything. They do demographic research, content analysis, and just a ton of data driven social science research. And so they don't take policy positions. So they're not
left-leaning,
they're not right-leaning.
Right.
They take it from, they basically take the analysis from the polling that they do. And so, you know, some of the biggest events of 2022, they did public opinion polling on, and it shed light on what the public opinion was. And so, you know, for everything from Russia's military invasion, the overturning of Roe versus Wade, people's experience with weather and how that affects their opinion on whether or not climate change is real. But I thought it'd be fun to spend this hour going through some of these findings. And I my first read through these, some were surprising, some were not. But, you know, my nerd brain, it's always fun to have numbers behind things to actually be like, is this true? Is this what the numbers actually reflect? Or is this just what I think? And so, the first one, Jane, how often do you carry cash with you?
Lately, I have had a couple bucks on me.
Okay.
That's kind of unusual.
Is it?
Yeah. Because as old as I am, everything's on cards now.
I know.
Everything's on cards. So it feels weird to pay with cash and then to have change.
Yeah. I almost never have cash, mostly because I always think I'm going to lose it. Even this, my grandmother for Christmas, I got cash from her and I think I left it at my parents' house.
Girl.
But I'm not alone. So roughly 4 in 10, so about 41% of Americans say none of their purchases in a typical week are paid for using cash. And so this is a growing, but that's still lower than I expected because there's a push more and more places are cashless, right? I think, is Lambo cashless now?
It might be. But then my husband and I went out to dinner last month and it was cash only.
See, that's so, does that surprise you? That
yes.
Still cash only places?
Yes. Thank God they had an ATM in there that charged probably $5 to get money out. But to come into a place that's cash only in this day and age, I found really surprising.
I wonder what there's more of now. More cashless venues, restaurants, bars, or more places that are still cash only?
No, I think it's more cashless.
It also probably depends on what part, if you're in a city versus a more rural area.
Sure.
And kind of where the, because this is, says, while the growing shares of Americans across income groups are relying less and less on cash, this is especially the case among the highest earners. So roughly 6 in 10 adults whose annual household income is over $100,000 say they none of their purchases during the week are cash.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting.
It is interesting because I would think for some of those people, you want to be able to pull out a big wad of cash and you can still impress people.
Make it rain.
Yes. And I do like to have cash for tips. I prefer that even yes. though you can just write it in on the slip. It's still, I just still think it's nice for the servers to get cash.
Yeah. I feel like it's probably good to always have 10 bucks and ones.
10, 20 like bucks, that, you know,
to either give someone on the side of the road or tip or something like that. All right. Next one. This, I think, is very interesting. It's also non-conclusive. It's kind of suggesting this could happen versus the hard and fast data. But if recent trends continue, Christians could make up a minority of Americans by 2070.
Wow.
Which I actually think is, because what did they say, that white people most likely will be in the minority by 2050?
50, I think.
So this is a longer timeline. But this comes out of different modeling that's based on what they call religion switching. So basically, since the 1990s, which I think we all probably can recognize as true, large numbers of Americans have left Christianity. And so they've joined, and it's not necessarily that they're transitioning to Judaism or Hinduism. It's that they're basically identifying as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular. So it's more people who are just kind of like leaving traditional religion
behind.
In total. And so this report that they produced was basically, depending on the continued rate of religious switching, there's a range of which by 2070 that there could be enough people that leave the Christian church altogether, that they're, for the first time ever in this country, a minority of the population. And so it's somewhere by 2070. So the projections show that Christians of all ages shrinking from 64% to somewhere between 54 and 35% by 2070. And then over that same period, people who have no religious affiliation would rise from their current 30% of the population to somewhere between 34 and 52.
Okay. Now, I have no basis for this.
Okay.
But I think these kinds of numbers other people look at, and other people look at these same sets of things. I think that this is why there is an increasing push for vouchers for religious schools. I believe that there is a very concentrated group of Americans who would love to see public education die and transition into all religious schools.
See, I understand the desire to have public school die so that school can be privatized and
make
money. But you think there's a religious aspect to it?
I do.
Interesting.
I mean, when you look at some of the political groups, Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, these Christian nationalists, and that's a growing segment and a pretty loud segment. I think that, yes, I think that there is...
Are the Oath Keepers inherently religious? Is that part of their tenets?
I think all of those groups kind of cloak themselves as Christians, yes.
Interesting. Well, I feel like any of these could probably be their own segment. But we got to keep marching along
because
we're already moving on two, and we still have 15 in total to get through the
hour. Only 15 will be fine.
This one I don't find surprising at all, but views on reparations for slavery vary widely by race and ethnicity, especially between Black and white Americans. I think that is kind of a duh.
That's not very shocking.
I don't know why that would be included in one of their most striking findings, but for all U.S. adults, 68% say no, that we should not do reparations. 30% say yes. But when it is just white people, 80% say no and 18% say yes. And it's basically flipped for the Black community, where 17% say no and 77% say yes.
Yeah.
And I think notably, but not surprisingly, this also is very different depending on political affiliation. So even more than just white people, 91% of Republicans say no and 8% say yes. But even with Democrats, it's like basically a 50-50. So of Democrats or leaning Democrat, 49% say no and 48% say yes. So it feels like we're probably far off from that actually ever happening. But people have opinions on it.
They certainly do.
All right. We'll squeeze one more in before the break. Coming back, as long as we have it, people are going to use it. A growing share of adult TikTok users in the U.S. are getting their news from TikTok, which is different, that's breaking a trend from the other social media, like other social media sites.
So are these just anybody's doing news videos and putting them on TikTok, or are these actual newscasters or news outlets?
Both. So my favorite, who I kind of would emulate as I try, one of my big 2023 goals is to get back into obviously doing this show every day, which is very long form, but then getting back into TikTok, Reels, YouTube, that is also Wisconsin headlines and stories, and probably trying to get back into delivering it in my style with a little humor, summing it up, linking to the article, since it's not, for me, it wouldn't be firsthand reporting. But the person I think is one of the best at this is, it's called Under the Desk News.
I have seen that.
They're great. And now they work with LA Times. They still have their own channel. And they do some of their own firsthand reporting. But there is different people. I forgot what his name is. There's one guy who does gay news and breaks down stories that are exactly what it sounds like. And so there are some entities. Obviously, Washington Post was kind of the first major, very serious news site. And they really leaned into, for their strategy, to do goofy videos that took stories of the day and made them in like very much as TikToks versus I think Yahoo News just streams live current events. And so there's different approaches to it.
And different models.
So there's certain people, there's some people who are just journalists who are doing it. There's some news organizations that are doing it. And then there's just kind of the average person. Like I wasn't a journalist, but there's a skill set in being able to sum up the news in a different palatable way.
Absolutely.
That I think is being delivered on TikTok. But what I thought was interesting is that more and more people aren't getting their news from Facebook. So for example, the share of adult Facebook users who regularly get news there has declined from 54% in 2020 to 44% this year.
Wow.
And so I still think probably Twitter is up there as far as people, but that declined too. Twitter in 2 years declined from 59% to 53%, Facebook 44%. Reddit lowered, YouTube stayed about the same, Instagram slightly above, and Snapchat, LinkedIn, they're kind of all. But TikTok, from 22% in 2020 to 33% in 2022. So we'll see if it sticks around. All right, we got more findings when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You think great text can have great sex? We study Wikipedia pages and type in latex. If you blind undercover like a peregrine.
What if one day you went to your secret hiding place, you know, that spot that only you know about, and instead of what you came for, you found something a little different? What if instead of your private stash, you found a simple phone number, 1-800-662-HELP? What would you do? Would you stop and give it some thought? Would you make the call? The truth is, all drug use comes with risk. Before those risks become real, before drugs turn your life upside down, before drugs take their toll on you and your family, Know that there is help. You can quit. If you or someone you love is struggling with drug use or prescription drug misuse, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral. Or go to samhsa.gov/thereishelp.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages,
start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're serious comedy to start your day.
When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things, even committed some crimes, but I am not a criminal.
I worked for youth advocate programs, yet I was Tamani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, and get a job.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
As Jalen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration and neighborhood violence. Youth advocate programs. Learn how at yapinc.org.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
You look so perplexed.
I'm so interested in what song this song this is.
It's called If Tears Were Diamonds.
Who sings it? I like the intro.
Little classic blues.
Yeah, it was like very
moody.
Kind of, yeah, very moody.
Moody.
Welcome back.
to a moody Esko's, Wisconsin.
To a moody Esko's, Wisconsin. We're in the mood of wrapping up 2022. I don't know about you, but my inbox is just full of the best of. And it goes back to our ongoing theme of who's working today and who is not working today? Because I feel like all of the different podcasts I listen to, and granted, they deserve a day off because some of these are daily podcasts,
right,
including The Daily. But even Ezra Klein's podcast, Bulwark, a bunch of different things that I regularly listen. I was at the gym for the first time in a while yesterday, and I was almost all of them were all playing replays. As far as like their best of for the year, the newsletters I subscribe to kind of get my roundup of news. They're doing Morning Brew's doing like their Golden Mug awards of best stories or best trend or whatever. And so everyone's a lot of news organizations, I think, are taking this week off, which is well deserved because news is hard. But
and it never stops.
And so it was interesting of how much there is best ofs for this year. And some of those we will be bringing to you because we are still here live tomorrow and Thursday. And today, at least this hour, we're going through Pew Research Center's most striking findings of 2022. And so if you're unfamiliar with Pew Research Center, it is a nonpartisan fact tank that informs the public about issues, attitudes, trends that are shaping our world, and it's a lot of research and demographic analysis based on public opinion polling. And so it's a lot of numbers. We will certainly put this article in today's podcast notes, which you can always find on asgoeswisconsin.com, because it's fun to dive into, especially if you like data.
If you like numbers.
But the next finding, you know, if only this could have happened 10 years ago. But most Americans who have experienced extreme weather in the past year, regardless of political party, are finally seeing climate change as a factor to that extreme weather.
That's remarkable.
Overall, 71% of Americans said that in the past 12 months, their community had experienced at least one of the five forms of extreme weather. And among those who had experienced extreme weather, more than 8 in 10, so 80%, said climate change contributed to at least a little to the event itself.
Well, if you live long enough, you realize this isn't normal.
No.
This is not normal. And the storm system that we just had is not normal. And now we're going to have rain on Thursday, and it's going to be 50 degrees. Also,
not normal.
Not normal. I was watching a series last night on Netflix about tornadoes and hurricanes and other natural disasters. And we have heard this from some about how climate change is causing, there have been volcanic eruptions in parts of the world that haven't seen them for decades, and people have to flee. So this is part of our migrant crisis and our refugee crisis. They're fleeing from weather-related events.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which are going to continue to worsen.
And not that there isn't a lot of... I'm still very bullish on humans, on solutions and things that people are trying to do to change this. I think, you know, we still haven't really done a deep dive on this, but the fusion breakthrough of energy, so like a cheap, clean energy source. Like there is... What did my brother talk about? Space solar.
And nuclear.
Yeah. And so there's stuff happening and people are trying to solve this, but it does feel like a milestone as far as finally people admitting that this is what's happening, and it's not just
made
weather.
Up. It's not just made up.
All right, number six. Americans became much more likely to see Russia as the enemy of the United States following Russia's military invasion of Ukraine.
Not everybody,
but it went from before, so like beginning of 2022 to after the invasion, went from 41 to 70%. It's a pretty big jump.
I question that number. I would like to believe that number. I question that number just because when I think of a particular broadcaster and a particular network who has millions of viewers and he loves Vladimir Putin.
I know you're just
relaying the information.
But maybe it went from people not really thinking about Russia at all to thinking about a lot more. What would be interesting, similarly to what I think we talked about this last week with Mike Gallagher, Congressman Representative Mike Gallagher from Wisconsin, kind of making the rounds on him thinking that we are in a cold war with China.
Right.
And I mean, I do think, I know it's interesting after having just spent the weekend with my brother, who pays much more attention to geopolitics and international politics and the way it affects markets versus I pay way more attention to Wisconsin and national politics.
Sure.
It's hard to do both. He admitted that. But he would say, you know, conversations around Russia, China, and how much he agrees on that as far as these things are real and the consolidation of those powers versus the West and a lot happening. So I don't think that is going to be over. The cut talks of who are enemies, quote unquote, if that's what you want to call them, being Russia and China, I think that will continue into next year.
Well, an interesting sidebar, because I know we got to go to break, but there are two Russian oligarchs who just died in the last couple of days. And another one fell out a window. This is a really bad recurring accident for Russian oligarchs when they're out of the country.
Between being pushed out of windows or poisoned.
Yeah. First floor only, dudes. Careful.
Those poor Russians just, you know, real susceptible to poisoning.
And window falling. It's odd.
All right. So we had to start getting through this a little bit faster. We still have eight different findings from Pew Research Center that they found this year that, do you think they're striking? Some of them I find very striking. Some of them seem obvious, but we're going to keep powering through them when we come back. Stay with us.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Hartle Monuments is honored to salute the men and women who continue to protect our precious freedoms. Hartle Monuments prides themselves in their veteran and civic memorials. Should you have a concept in mind or just need some guidance in finding the right memorial, Hartle Monuments will gently assist. From concept to creation to installation. Let our experience show. Hartle Monuments, since 1901, still at 1915 Baker Drive, Wisconsin Rapids.
Join Max Inc. Radio this New Year's Eve as we present live at thespaceship.tv. Max Inc. Radio will broadcast live from the spaceship.tv studios 6 p.m. to midnight, plus live performances from the Civil Engineers. Linda and the Zeros. Porky's Groove Machine.
Who's there, the Spice Girls? Muy caliente.
Oh, they're not hitting.
Live streaming video at thespaceship.tv and live on this civic media station. Let's party. New Year's Eve starting at 6 p.m. live from thespaceship.tv. Happy New Year's from Civic Media and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Happy Holidays from WFHR. With this song that we sing, we hope to bring happiness to your heart. And for the new year, we wish for you the best. Merry Christmas to you from WFHR.
Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar and Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 7 locations statewide. Monk's Bar and Grill is ready for your next game day visit and is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Police have arrested a suspect they believe robbed a Senex gas station in Taylor County at gunpoint. 36-year-old Tommy Lee Wilkes is in custody after he pulled out a gun at a Senex station in Gilman, Wisconsin, and demanded the clerk give him money. Wilkes was not at the gas station when police arrived, but they were able to follow his footsteps to where it looked like he got into a car and drove off. Police don't know yet how much money was taken. One person and a dog died in a car crash in Lincoln County this morning. Just before 8 a.m., a car failed to stop at a stop sign in the town of Bradley at the intersections of County Road U and County Road A. The car crossed the road and went through a ditch before hitting a group of trees. Authorities say that speed is a factor in the crash. In sports, the Luke Fickell era begins as the Badgers take on Oklahoma State in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl tonight. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Daytime highs approaching 22 this afternoon under cloudy skies, south winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy again tonight, lows level off around 19. Highs around 36 tomorrow, cloudy skies. Highs level off around 41 Thursday with a chance for scattered rain showers. 34 cloudy skies Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 13.
Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network, no matter where you're listening. On a transistor radio, streaming on the app, listening to Alexa, listening to a podcast later. Thank you for tuning in. If you do miss any part of today's show, you can always go back and listen to it as a podcast. You can find it on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen, which is also where you can always find more of the resources of the different articles that we're referencing and talking about if you want to dive deeper. And you can also find us on anywhere you find podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. And you can always join in the fun by calling or texting 844-967-2789. We are spending this Tuesday between Christmas and New Year's fog, doing some roundups from 2022. And this hour, we're talking about Pew Research Center's most striking findings of 2022. Do we agree that they're striking? Do we agree that they're obvious? That's what we're talking about. So we're on to, because he knew it was going to come up, abortion. And I don't find this striking because I feel like almost everything, there was a lot of reporting on Schmishmortion this year. And what they found is basically relatively few Americans have an absolutist view on the legality of abortion.
So fewer Americans are like, it has to be legal in all cases. It must be illegal in all cases.
Yes. Okay. So the stark minority of people think it's illegal. Illegal in all cases, that's like 2%. Legal in all cases, no exception, is 19%. And most of us fall somewhere in between. So 36% is legal in most cases. 27% is illegal in most cases. But in general, very few people are all in or all out on a very private health-related decision. And that doesn't surprise me at all. Because I think that's what most findings have been, is that it's a gray area that you can have strong opinions about it until it happens to you. And then I heard in all of the reporting that happened this year, there was a saying that was something that's like, abortion's illegal in all cases except for rape, incest, and when it happens to me.
I don't think that's far off.
Yeah.
And every pregnancy is different.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. All right. Moving along. Similarly, but different. Following the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe versus Wade, the partisan gap in views of the court grew wider than at any point in the last 30 years.
Well done, Supremes. Way to go. Woo.
And so, again, is that striking? I don't think so. But yes, as you can probably imagine, in this last year and the decisions that came down, I don't think it was just Roe v. Wade, because there was a lot of activist rulings that came down over the summer. There was a much bigger divide between Republicans and how they viewed the court versus how Democrats viewed the court. And again, I don't know. Yeah. I wonder what the criteria was to be a striking finding.
That sounds so subjective. It could be anything.
Because I feel like this one seems obvious. I mean, it's like, is it this was the biggest stories of the year versus the most surprising findings of the year? Because I don't find this surprising. If you're paying attention to the news, I don't find that one surprising at all.
But, you know, for a lot of people, I think the court has been... they're fine, you know, and they do their Supreme Court things. And I think some of these latest decisions, though, were just so glaring that that's probably what made it jump out.
Yeah. That's all I have to say about that one. So
okay.
We're moving on. This one I feel like it could be a whole conversation because it's been talked about a ton. It's obviously very taboo and controversial in some circles, although it shouldn't be, but about 5% of Americans who are younger than 30 identify as either transgender or non-binary, which is a big jump from generations who are older than them. So for 30 to 49-year-olds, it's about 1.6%. If you're over 50, it's 0.3%. But 5% for under 30... I would say that's a significant jump from where it's been. Even my generation, when we were under 30, I'm sure your generation when they were under 30. But I just think that is a different, and I've heard different conversations about this. And as far as is this jump in people identifying as that, is it because there's now a world where it's more open-minded than it's been? Granted, there are still a lot of issues, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, with certain politicians and conservative groups targeting, you know, having policies and bills that are targeting trans youth as far as not letting them play sports and not
getting healthcare.
Yeah, and not allowing gender affirming care and all of this different stuff. But the fact that there is still an environment that's been created where more people feel like they can choose how they identify at all and, you know, answer surveys talking about that. Is that because there's been a culture shift as far as what is it, would that be a percentage that was always there? It just wasn't as comfortable for people to be able to come out. Or is it also a change in the rhetoric around how we talk about gender? But it's certainly a shift because that was certainly not the case, I think, when I was even, I certainly don't think it was the case when I was in high school or college.
I agree with you. I do think that that is a big shift. But I wonder now, with the attack on Club Q that was just, 2 months ago, whether or not that is going to continue and continue to grow. There is so much rhetoric aimed at that particular, the LGBTQ community in particular. I wonder if there isn't going to be more hesitancy for people to identify with that if we can continue to see some of this violent rhetoric and some of these violent actions.
Well, you know, it goes back to what I was thinking, because there's more and more people who also know someone, because it's a small percentage of the population, right?
Right.
It's a very small percentage of the population. But the population of someone who, of people who know someone who identifies that way is growing. So
right.
More than 4 in 10 people say they personally know someone who is trans, and 20% know who someone who is non-binary. And it goes back to, I think, what my theory, and I'm not alone here, as far as the growing, or how quickly rights progressed for LGBTQ people in my lifetime compared to where we are with racism and different outcomes as far as different, like, but racial minorities, and how much that, like, just by association and knowing someone and that being part of your opening your eyes a little bit more and being more understanding, being more open-minded.
Sure.
Because think about when we were talking to Allison Hayden last week, and she said, you know, only 2% of the population is Jewish. And how many people who probably live in this state, in this country, who don't know anyone who's Jewish. And so that blindness to other cultures or other gender identities or other races, it becomes a lot easier to fill in the blanks and fill in those blanks with stereotypes versus seeing people as real people because you know people.
Sure.
And so it's interesting to think if this is with more, like I said, with more young people feeling comfortable to identify how they actually feel versus feeling like they have to fit into a box, does that grow in people who, you know, identify as cis people who identify as the same as they were their assigned sex, just to have more tolerance and understanding just because they have more exposure to real people's experiences?
It will be interesting to see. I will be interested to see if this topic gets revisited by the Pew Research people next year.
Yeah.
And see where we are.
Moving along, we have 5 more. This is interesting. Most Americans say journalists should always strive to give every side equal coverage, but journalists themselves are more likely to say every side does not always deserve equal coverage.
That's absolutely true.
Which,
the journalists.
Yeah. And so that, I think in reality, where do you fall on that?
I side with the journalists.
You do.
And I am not a journalist by trade. I have done some reporting over about 7 years and did some stories and stuff like that, but I still don't consider myself a journalist.
Yeah, me either.
But both sides are not always equal. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
And
both sides are not always true.
Both sides are not always true. And some things are verifiably lies. Are verifiable lies. And I think there was too much of both sides, all sides, everybody does it during the previous administration that was not accurate.
Mm-hmm. And so this, it says, those who favor equal coverage argue that it's always necessary to allow the public to be equally informed about multiple sides of an argument, while those who disagree contend that people making false statements or unsupported conjectures do not warrant as much attention as those making factual statements, with solid supporting evidence.
I mean, are you going to interview Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's an astrophysicist, and then interview Wally from...
I like that you chose the name Wally.
I dated a guy named Wallace once. It didn't last. And Wally from Green Bay, who says that the moon is made of cheese, I should give these people equal platforms?
No.
No.
I don't know. All right. Next one. Nearly half of U.S. teens now say they use the internet almost constantly. I think I use the internet almost constantly.
So do I. It's bad.
It's bad. I mean, between my face in front of a screen is basically all day, every day.
In some form or another.
I spend 3 hours in front of a screen for the show. I'm on my computer or my phone looking for stuff for the show.
Yep.
But, it does not surprise me that the kids are online.
I'm no kid and I'm online.
I know.
And I was talking to some relatives over the holidays just about how I don't read anymore. And I used to inhale books.
Oh, books. Yeah, I'm not a
book
great...
books. I mean, and I would read 3 books a month.
Wow.
No problem. And since I do so much more screen time, I find I don't concentrate as long if I'm trying to read. I'm disappointed in myself.
I'm trying to read more. This is one of my, if we're going to call it a resolution, but reading a novel before bed instead of scrolling on my phone.
That's probably not a bad idea.
We'll see how long it lasts. All right, we'll squeeze in another one. Again, I think if you're paying attention, this doesn't feel like a striking finding, but the share of aggregate U.S. household income held by the middle class has fallen steadily since 1970.
Oh, what a shock.
Yeah. In 1970, adults in middle-income households accounted for 62% of aggregate income, and by 2020, it fell to 42%, and I don't see it changing. Don't see it necessarily changing anytime soon.
That seems to imply that trickle-down economics does not work.
The best thing I shared, I did not come up with this, was one of the best things I found this weekend. I think it was on Betches, which is an Instagram account that I follow. It says, don't make fun of older children who still believe in Santa Claus. There's grown men out there who still believe in trickle-down economics.
Ooh! Good one.
All right. How much time we have?
We got a minute.
All right, we'll take a minute. All right, so there's two left. One... they're both kind of about partisanship and whether or not social media is good for democracy. We will finish that up when we come back. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. On the right track, baby, I was gonna be brave.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
What's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists, in their own words.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
News Talk Radio, streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are looking through Pew Research Center's most striking findings of 2022, or at least what they think is their most striking findings. And it's been interesting. You can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. We got two more to finish out this hour, and then we'll take a break for the top of the news, top of the hour news, and J.R. Ratcliffe will be here to talk Packers. So if you are interested in the Packers, stay tuned through the top of the hour.
They're alive.
They're alive. Against all odds.
I know. It's incredible.
All right. So getting back to some of these findings, whether or not we find them striking, but either way, they are real. This one, again, is sad, but maybe not surprising. Growing shares of both Republicans and Democrats say that the members of the other party are more immoral, dishonest, and close-minded than other Americans.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, really?
So, the research was basically starting in 2016, which was a polarizing year up to 2022. And for Republicans that say Democrats are more close-minded, it went from 52 to 69, dishonest, 42 to 64, immoral, 35 to 63, unintelligent, 32 to 51. And this is the outlier for what Republicans think about Democrats, that we're lazy.
Ah.
48 to 62. But similarly, Democrats say Republicans are close-minded. It went up 13 points. Dishonest went up 22 points. Immoral went up almost 30 points. Unintelligent, 20 points, and lazy. So I guess Democrats don't think Republicans are lazy, because in 2016, they said it was 18%, and even by 2022, it's only 26%. So
I don't think laziness has a political affiliation. I'm just going to throw that out there.
That's fair. But so not good. Not good as far as being open-minded to trying to talk to people who don't necessarily agree with you. But,
well,
instead of just discarding them as bad people.
And what I think is really not good is that for some people, that is by design. They want us to view each other as the enemy. Yeah. They don't want us to trust each other. They don't want us to try and work together. They win when we fight each other.
Totally. Yes. I'm not saying this isn't something that we just woke up and decided to feel this way.
Right.
It is part of our media landscape. It is part of what sells, what gets clicks, what gets people fired up. This is I think a byproduct of media rather than of people being told what to, largely like, what should I think, and finding the people that they trust and that they feel like instinctually they align with. And if those people are pointing the finger and calling names and stuff, it becomes a lot easier to continually believe that of the other side. Again, unless you actually have a diverse friend group, not only racially and ethnically, but also politically, which is hard to do.
It is hard to do, but it's also another reminder of why the words we choose are so very important.
Yeah.
And if there is a politician using particularly derogatory terms to define their opponent, then we all need to take a closer look at that politician who is choosing to use those words.
Agreed.
That's a big problem.
All right. Well, to round out these findings, this is really interesting because I think we spend a fair amount of time talking about social media, its impact, if it's a good thing or a bad thing. But majorities of nations around the world see social media as a good thing for democracy.
Really?
But not in the United States.
Wow.
So in the United States, 64% of respondents said social media is a bad thing for democracy, and 34 said a good thing. And the only other, Netherlands and France were the only two countries, so majority, 50% or higher, that see it as a bad thing. Australia, France, Netherlands, and us. And everyone else thought it was a better thing for democracy. The United Kingdom, Canada, Belgium, Germany, Italy, Greece, Spain, South Korea, Sweden, Malaysia, Israel, Japan, Hungary, Singapore, and Poland. In Poland, 67% of respondents think it's a good thing. So I don't know what's different about their social media.
Do they have just fewer trolls per million? I'm not sure. I would be really curious to delve into that a little bit further.
So in addition to being the most negative about social media's influence on democracy, Americans are consistently among the most negative in their assessment of specific ways that social media has affected politics and society. For example, 79% in the U.S. believe access to the internet and social media has made more people divided in their political opinions, the highest percentage among all countries polled.
Well, it's certainly much easier to just swim in your own pool.
And I also wonder if it goes back to anything, and I have, this is maybe grasping for straws, but we, you know, I feel like I talk a fair amount about the problem with a two-party system. And the fact that you only have two parties to choose from. And so it goes back to what we were saying with the previous finding, that it's very easy to, all you have to, a winning strategy can just be you hate the other guys so much that you feel forced to hold your nose and vote for this party.
Right.
Instead of having a more diverse choice, like more diverse choices, because there's other countries have like proportional representation and more parties, and there's like more of a choice as far as what platform you want to get behind besides just us or them. And so I wonder if with that, the way social media works can be fostered or nurtured better in political countries where the political systems are not a duopoly. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I don't know. I just have to think that they're...
Or is there different political fund? You know, we also spend the most amount of money on campaigns in this country.
Ridiculous amounts of money.
And so it'd be interesting to dive deeper into what, how social media disseminates differently here to be the outlier.
Well,
or
and don't forget, our election cycle is so much longer than anybody else's.
Yes.
That is so much
true.
Longer. So we're drowning in this stuff.
It just never ends.
It doesn't. We never get a break.
Interesting. All right. Well, let us know. What of those, if you've been listening for the whole hour, what of those did you find the most surprising? What did you find the most obvious? 844-967-2789. We're going to bring more kind of end of the year roundups throughout the week. Tomorrow, at least tomorrow and Thursday, we are off Friday. But for now, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, J.R. Radcliffe will be here to talk all things Packers and that miracle. Don't call it a comeback, I guess. I don't know. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only one in three Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 9.